This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, this is Arvind Yuvraj on Open for Business, and today's show is all about, well, it's about a bunch of things, actually. It's about tattoos, yes. It's also about hobbies and turning a hobby into a business. It's about making do with the space you have while maybe working towards the space that you want, right? It's also about balancing studies with bookings and business. Basically, it's about the tattoo joint called Poking Duck, run by the person who's on the line with me now, Esther Chung. Esther, thanks so much for joining us today.
Okay, sure. I'm ready.
Let's start with the most obvious question. What is a poking duck? Like, why the name poking duck?
Okay, well, it's a pun, but I think I kind of failed on that part because like 50% of my clients don't understand why I call myself poking duck.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's based on the food Peking duck, which I really like to eat.
Okay.
And also, I wanted to somehow incorporate the fact that I do hand poke tattoos into my name.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I thought, okay, poking duck could work. But then no one gets it. So, you know, it's fine.
It is fine. I mean, it gets the conversation going and gets people asking you questions, I guess, like me.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess it's like kind of quirky. So I guess people sort of like remember it more.
Okay. Okay, so how did Poking Duck happen? It's a tattoo business. You have your own tattoo business. What is the origin story of that tattoo business?
Okay, so basically it was purely a hobby when I first started out. It was really by chance. So I was about 19 when I first started getting tattoos of my own. I'm 21 now. And I think I just sort of like fell in love with the tattoo culture and the art form. And I really wanted to learn more and even maybe do an apprenticeship, because at the time that was like what I thought to be the only way to get into the tattoo scene. But then like after doing some research, I realized that like there are a lot of ways you can try your hand at tattooing other than like doing an apprenticeship. So, like, with my schedule, because I also study at uni, I'm in an accounting degree right now. So I decided to do some research and try and self-learn kind of, like, on my own for a bit. So I think that was how I started out initially.
Okay. And you're doing all of this from home, right? Your living room?
Yeah. So basically, with my parents' permission, I converted my living room into like a small tattoo studio, makeshift, because I think with the MCO also, I kind of decided not to branch out into renting an external space just yet, especially if you are not like doing full-time, like a part-timer like me, just kind of like having a side hustle. I think it really helps cutting down the cost and all that.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned your parents just now that you had to get permission. So what does your family think about all this? Like, what is their take?
Well, I think it initially they were a bit hesitant because tattooing is not something that is a very common part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would think like, oh, okay, I'm going to go work in like a H&M or something, which is like makes more sense. So like my parents were a bit shocked and kind of like upset when I told them at first, because they were like, you're an accountant, like why do you want a tattoo and stuff? But I think that once they really understood that I wasn't like playing around, I was like pretty serious, and I did a lot of preparation, I got a lot of SOPs in place, and I was like, okay, I'm serious about this, I really want to do this. And they were like, okay, like we trust you. And I think that sort of like helped them kind of like support me now, I mean, at this point, yeah.
Okay, so when you were starting out versus now, like, do you see this as a career choice or a career path, or was it more like a side hustle thing, like a passion project that you wanted to try for the time being? Like, where are you now versus when you started tattooing back when you were 19, or when you started getting interested in tattooing when you were 19?
Yeah, definitely when I first started out, I did not envision that it would become a business. It was purely like a hobby. I was just tattooing friends, just sort of like learning about it, having fun with it. And I think at this point, like at this current stage, I definitely feel like it has a lot of potential to become a full-time business. But it definitely is a bit worrying, because it's not something that is what you would call a stable profession or a typical profession. So I don't have any like benchmark, as you will, onto like how well or how it can sustain me for like the long term, as like a long term career.
You know, like speaking about potential, you know, from what I've read, you've sort of broken even with business, right? So on average, how much can you make with Poking Duck, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I think that I'm not like the best benchmark on how much tattoo artists really make, because mm-hmm. I am part-time, I still study, and also because I work from home. So I think that my costs are very different from, let's say, like full-time artists who have their own studio or they work in a parlor. So I think like for me, I definitely make an average of about 2 to 3K a month. Mm-hmm. I think the MCO really did affect my how much I make, because I tattoo from home, I have like really weird working hours. And also with the pandemic, I decided not to open during any CMC or MCO period, mm-hmm. because I do have my family members living with me and they're older, so I really don't want to risk their health or anything like that. But it definitely isn't something that I'm really happy with, because, you know, if I were to have maybe a private studio of my own, I could definitely put in more hours and maybe like I wouldn't have to deal with this issue.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you about the MCO and its effects on your business and stuff, but I guess that sort of answers it. You know, going to your tattooing skills for a bit, you know, are those like self-taught? Like where did you learn how to tattoo properly?
Well, basically, I decided to go onto trusty Google and YouTube, mm-hmm. and try and figure it out from there. I think that the thing with self-learning is that there's a lot of doubt when you first start out, because there's no one to like guide you or advise you on if your process or if the way you're doing it is correct. You know, a lot of what you do is based off of your gut feel and like especially like your experiences and your practices and stuff like that. So I decided to practice for a little while. I didn't really think that I was going to make it into a business. That's why like I was pretty like relaxed during my learning process. I didn't think that I had to rush into anything. So I just really took my time and enjoyed myself. Definitely a huge learning curve though. It's not like, you know, you pick it up and you can get it right away. It's like, you know, you learn how to ride a bike. You probably fall a few times before mm-hmm. you figure it out, like figure how to go forward with it. Yeah.
So it's interesting that you say that, because I've always been curious about this, right? How does someone practice tattooing? Like you mentioned the bike, and of course, if you get it wrong, then you fall off the bike a couple of times. But the permanency yeah. of the ink is what makes tattooing so appealing. But it also is a big decision for most people because of that, right? Because once it's on your skin, it's on your skin. So early on when you were starting out, who signs up to be the guinea pigs? Like, how do you know if your tattooing is going right?
Well, before I enlisted my guinea pigs boots, you could say, I kind of started out with fake skin first. So fake skin is a type of silicone, and it's kind of shaped in a A4 paper, but it's made of silicone. So it's like got that kind of skin texture. So you can get like a load of them off of like Shopee or Lazada. And then I just sort of use that to practice for like, I think the first 2 to 3 months. So I think that the fake skin really helps, because, you know, you don't have to worry about ruining another person's skin, if that makes sense. You can just kind of like really try out your technique and stuff like that. And I think once I sort of got that down, got a bit more confident, I decided to tattoo my close friends first. Mm-hmm. And I think that a surefire way of not like messing up too badly is to start small. So I really gave out really small tattoos in the beginning, nothing over like 3-4 cm. So like just really tiny, tiny ones. And yeah, so I think when you start to work on people, you really get the feel of like different skin textures, different skin thickness, like different pressure you need to apply on every different person. And I think that it really, really helps to build like your skill set and stuff like that. But yeah, definitely, like when I tattooed my first person, I was like so nervous, even though it was like a close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Her name is Natasha. And I remember she just came over to my place and like she just wanted to get like a really small smiley face. And it took me like, I think more than an hour I think it would take me like 10 minutes now. But when I first started out, I was like so nervous. So like, I just wanted to take it really slow. But yeah, thankfully it turned out well. So, and she still has it. She hasn't lasered it off. Thank God. So yeah.
How would you describe your tattoo style though? Like, because some people do like geometry, some work with like fine lines, some are like hyper detailed. What is your style of tattoos?
I think like I really like delicate tattoos, like tattoos with fine lines. I really like doing custom designs. So I like to do sort of like imagery, you know, like some people specialize in like writing or maybe like Roman numerals or maybe geometric, but I like doing like pictures or like images. I don't know how you would describe them. So yeah, and I like doing it. I like doing like cartoonish styles. So nothing too realistic, more of like line work and stuff like that. Yeah, I think that I'm considered pretty new because I've only been doing this for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that I've come into like a specific style yet, but I'm definitely getting there, I think. Yeah.
Are you experimenting with like other styles? Like what kind of tattoos do you want to be able to do in like 5-6 years, let's say? Is there like a goal for you or is it okay? Are you happy at where you are with your style?
I definitely am like trying out a lot of different styles now. So that's why I open customs. What that means is that I allow clients to come to me and sort of give me an idea of what they want. I try to like cater to them and also incorporate a little bit of my style into that design as well. So that sort of helps me to determine like, okay, like if I do this style, like, how do I feel about it? Or like, you know, maybe I'm more comfortable in this style or something else. So I'm sort of like growing my portfolio now, as you could say. But I don't think that this is where I want to be in the next like 5-6 years. Hopefully when I reach that point, I would like to be able to do custom designs, but in my own way. So maybe not like instead of like clients coming to me with something that they want, maybe like they would be more inclined to get something in my style. So, you know, I would like to be known for a certain style because I think that for tattoo artists to have longevity in the business, it's really important to like separate yourself from other tattoo artists. And I think the most important thing, the most important way to do that is to get your own style. You know, because then people will come to you because like, okay, yeah, she's really good or he's really good at this kind of style. That's why I go to that person. And I think that that's the only way you can survive in the tattoo world in for long term.
Right, we're going to pause for a few minutes to get some messages in. But if you want to know more about Poking Duck or if you're thinking about getting a tattoo, stick around. We'll be back in a bit. BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj and I'm on the line with Esther Chung. She's the founder of Poking Duck, which is a tattoo place, a tattoo business that she runs from her living room while balancing life as a student at the same time. Is it expensive getting started with tattoos? Like you mentioned that you had to experiment in the beginning, you had to get like the silicone skin, and of course you need the equipment, right? So how affordable or how expensive is it to sort of break into the tattooing business at first?
So when I first started out, I definitely had to like do a lot of research on how to source tattoo materials properly, because like when you do go on and look for like, let's say tattoo inks or tattoo needles, you actually find a lot of counterfeit stuff. I think that goes for like any other type of like material, you know, there's always going to be counterfeit stuff. So I definitely had to like figure it out the hard way, because like when I first started out and I was tattooing on fake skin, I got like cheap inks and I was wondering why like it wouldn't stick or the outcome wasn't as nice. And that's when I realized that there's a difference in quality. And because of that, there's a difference in price too. So like really good quality inks that are imported from the US are much more expensive than like, you know, like really cheap inks that you get from like China and stuff like that. And you definitely have to take that into account, especially when you start to tattoo on real people. because like the good stuff don't come cheap. that's just about it.
You mentioned a couple of times that you are still studying, I guess that sort of like affects your schedules, or it did affect your schedules when, you know, before the CMCO and stuff. When things were normal, how did you work with bookings? Like, how did that time management work for you while you still had to go and study? You still had to go to uni.
Okay, so actually, I'm not like the best person at time management, but and because I think
none of us are.
Yeah, honestly, no one is. And because I really like tattooing, and maybe I like tattooing more than accounting, I tend to like favor my part-time job as opposed to my studies. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's really, really important to have balance, because when I do have semester breaks, so I usually get about a month and a half off after every semester. I sort of like fill up my calendar, so I don't have like any breaks. I tattoo every day if I can. And then when I do have classes, I have to cut down. So like currently I have classes on Monday, Wednesday, and like Thursday. So mm-hmm. I would have to give up tattooing on those days and make up for it on the other days. And then you also have to deal with like your assignments, your midterms, your finals, and at the same time you got to figure out, okay, I've got to do designs, I've got to plan, I've got to talk to customers, you know, like you just got to like figure out like the perfect balance. And definitely when I first started out, it was like a struggle, you know. I would like kind of like miss out on some things. Maybe I forget to reply a customer or forget to do a design. So I think that it's really important to come up with a system. Like for me, I keep like a notebook. So like my notebook, I'd have like the list of designs that I have to do for people. And then maybe like I have a small calendar where I sort of like have my dates on, like what's, I feel like a really big step to becoming an adult is having a calendar or like a planner. Like, yeah, I never knew how important it would be until like I got this part-time job. Like my planner is by my bedside every single night, like literally.
Yeah, it is. I think the moment you start syncing up calendars or like journals, or like you have like everything's on the cloud and you know what to do next, you're right. That's like the first step of becoming like an adult.
Yeah, it's like, adulthood. This is what it feels like.
But I guess, you know, for you, social media is like a huge plus, right? Because you mainly promote your stuff on Instagram, if not mistaken. Do you have TikTok?
No, I don't have TikTok. I am planning to get TikTok though, but stuff, like all the transitioning and stuff. But yeah, actually, social media is a huge, huge part in my business. And I think that is the same for any other small business. It's such a great platform to get discovered and to kind of like gain exposure for like free. Like if you talk about like 10 years ago in the tattooing business, like the only way you could come up in tattooing would be to take an apprenticeship or to work in a parlor. But now with social media like Instagram and whatnot, you can just like tattoo from your own home and just showcase your work on Instagram and get noticed. And it's really an amazing thing. I guess it does come with its drawbacks though, you know, but I guess like there's pros and cons for everything. So yeah, but definitely it has been a huge, huge help. And I really rely a lot on it.
Okay. Estelle, what are some of your biggest challenges in this? I mean, the pandemic is like, I guess the big one, but other than that, what are some of the challenges that you're going through with the business?
I think besides the COVID, another thing that I worry a lot about tattooing is like how to stay current, because I feel like tattooing in itself is an ever-changing market. It is a market that is like really heavily reliant on trends and like how society perceives tattoos. So like trends are always changing. So that means tattoos are always changing. You know, the style that you're seeing like now, like currently, was not the style that you were seeing like last time. And it's definitely going to change. It's never going to stay the same. So I think like I worry a lot about how I'm going to stay current, like how I can stay within that bubble and not get swept away. You know, I feel like it's a lot like technology, where like the next new thing is always going to come out, you know, and you always have to stay on top of it. And I think another worry that I have is that it's a very competitive market. You know, you have thousands of tattoo artists in Malaysia alone. And definitely, like, you have to find something that sets you apart from the others. And it's hard because, you know, art is something that is, not like it's really hard to make yourself unique because almost everything is out there, you know, with the internet and everything. Like nothing is unique anymore, if that makes sense.
It does.
You know? So I think that it matters how you sort of like take that and make it your own. You know, it doesn't have to be 100% unique, brand new, like you've never seen it before. But I think that it's important for you to like absorb and kind of like put out your take on it. So yeah, I think I worry a lot about that. And also currently me as a student, I guess like I also worry a lot about how I'm going to sort of like make the best of both worlds work. So, you know, how am I going to give 100% in my tattooing business and how am I going to give 100% in my studies and make sure that I don't experience burnout, because burnout is very, very real.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, and I've experienced it a few times, especially when you're just overworked on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that it's really important. And I think that was something that I really struggled with, especially when I was taking a lot of clients and also having like schoolwork and stuff like that.
Mm. Because yeah. You were excited about starting the business and stuff, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. So like I would just like pile on client after client and I was just like, okay, like one more, just one more. It's fine, you know? And then it just starts to get too much and you've got like your assignments piled up due next week and you're just like, wow, can I do this? Can I actually do this? So yeah, that was me at one point. And I think that it's really important to know how to say no, like sometimes for mm-hmm. the sake of your own health.
And your own sanity.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Final question, Esther. What is next? Like, what is the long-term thing, a long-term plan? Is like a brick and mortar, like a tattoo parlor in the works, or are you happy at where you are at the moment?
Well, I think like in the immediate future, I really hope that I can graduate. That's like the hope.
Mm-hmm.
So once I graduate, I plan to continue my studies to get my professional cert, which is like an ACCA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think like it's more of a personal choice. I do want to make tattooing my full-time career, but I definitely want to go all the way with my accounting degree, if that makes sense. Like, I just don't want to stop where I am right now just because I have something that I love to do. And I definitely would love to have a studio of my own and stop burdening my parents and like taking hostage of the living room. I would love to sort of like work with a community of tattoo artists, maybe in the same space or something like that. That would be amazing. And I think like another, I would say like pipe dream. I don't know if it will actually happen, but I really love the idea of like traveling and tattooing.
Mm.
So a lot of overseas artists, they do guest spots. So what that means is that they link up with parlors of other countries and they probably go there for about a week or two and they work in that parlor. So I think that's a really beautiful way to like spread your work to like other places, and also sort of like you get to travel as well. So it's like a win-win. But yeah, I think that's like really long way to go down the road. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Esther, thanks so much for your time.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Okay, so we have to wrap up, but that was Esther Chung, founder of Poking Duck, which is a home-based tattoo place that's been through a bunch of ups, some downs, and has big plans for the future. You can stream this interview again via podcast on the BFM website, which is bfm.my. We're also on the BFM app, and you can find us on Spotify as well. This has been Arvind Yuvraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.